Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my Intuitive Eating Fundamentals online course. If you're ready to break free from diet culture and reclaim the life it stole from you, learn more and sign up at ChristyHarrison.com/course. That's ChristyHarrison.com/course. Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, which is available now, and The Wellness Trap, which will be out in early 2023. And by the way, on this show, I avoid saying diet culture stuff like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised. Hey there, welcome to this episode of Food Psych. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and today I'm going to be answering an audience question about meal timing and why we need both consistency and flexibility with it, especially in recovery from disordered eating. This is a really important topic because these days I see many people getting really caught up in quote unquote optimizing their meal times, but that often has some pretty major unintended consequences for our relationship with food. Before I answer, just a few quick announcements. This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap: Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. The book explores the connections between diet culture and wellness culture, how the wellness space became overrun with scams, misinformation, and conspiracy theories, why many popular alternative medicine diagnoses are misleading and harmful, how wellness culture targets vulnerable people and ignores social determinants of health, and what we can do instead to find true well-being. To learn more and pre-order the book, go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this week's question. It's from Vera, who writes, "Hi, Christy. Thank you for your work and support. I'm making my first steps of anorexia/orthorexia recovery, and my question is about the necessity of the timing of eating. I've heard many therapists of eating disorders say that it is very important to design an optimal eating regime. But for me, it's hard to follow it because every day you have different circumstances, and I get worried about not having my meals at the same time every day. Also, I often have to eat at nighttime because it was impossible to have dinner earlier, but then I can't go to bed for an hour or two because I believe that sleeping on a full stomach is not good for me. So is it really important to eat at the same time every day and not to sleep right after a meal? I'll be very grateful for your response because I can't find this information anywhere." So thanks, Vera, for that great question. And before I answer, I'll just give my standard disclaimer that these answers and this podcast in general are for informational and educational purposes only, aren't a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice, and don't constitute a provider-patient relationship. Also, this is just my take as one dietitian and journalist, and I hope you'll seek out other perspectives and consult your own inner compass as well. First of all, Vera, I want to offer compassion for what you're going through. It sounds like you're working really hard on your recovery, but you may also be getting caught up in some of the same perfectionism that drives your eating disorders. In particular, orthorexia is largely centered around ideas of quote-unquote rightness and quote-unquote purity in eating. The term orthorexia nervosa can be roughly translated as obsession with having the correct diet. And it sounds like maybe some of that fixation is creeping into your approach to your recovery meal plan. It may also be present for those therapists who encourage a quote-unquote optimal eating regime. I'm not sure if that's your term or theirs, but it definitely smacks of orthorexia. You're absolutely right that each day can be different in terms of your schedule and timing, so it's often impractical to try to have meals at the exact same times every day. Getting too preoccupied with meal timing can limit the flexibility we're looking to cultivate in recovery from disordered eating. Ultimately, we want to be able to go with the flow and eat a little bit earlier or a little bit later than we're used to in various situations without experiencing anxiety, guilt, or any other negative emotions driven by the eating disorder. At the same time, it's also important not to go too long between eating occasions. Current trendy wellness culture diets often encourage having really long stretches between meals, but that can be incredibly detrimental, especially when you already have a tendency toward disordered eating. Your body and brain need consistent, reliable, sufficient meals and snacks in order to heal, and depriving them of that consistency can fan the flames of disordered eating and hinder your recovery. That means if we're in a situation where other people are going long stretches between meals and snacks, we need to be able to assert our food needs and get those needs met without shame. So to me, there's a sweet spot that incorporates both flexibility and consistency. Having a general pattern of alternating meals and snacks throughout the day, with a few hours between each meal and snack, and each person is going to need to fill in their own specifics of what and when to eat within those general parameters, which is why working with a dietitian who specializes in eating disorder recovery is so important if it's available to you. If you don't have one yet, we'll link to a list of dietitians and other providers you might check out. But having rough windows during the day in which to eat is a good idea so that you don't get fixated on exact meal times, but also don't go many hours without eating. When you talk about eating at nighttime because it was impossible to have dinner earlier, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by nighttime or impossible. So are we talking about eating dinner at 9 p.m. some nights because, you know, you work a manual labor type job until 8 and it's physically impossible to eat at work? Or are we talking about eating dinner at midnight when it might actually be possible, if inconvenient, to rearrange things to eat earlier? To me, the first scenario sounds potentially workable with recovery, whereas the second one sounds more problematic. And it might be the eating disorder coming up with reasons to delay eating, right? I don't know your circumstances, but if you're going that long without a meal, if you're pushing off dinner super, super late like that, I think it's important to look at whether there are ways to reorganize your time in order to prioritize self-care. As for sleeping with a full stomach, I think it's also helpful to define and unpack your belief that it's quote unquote not good for you. Is that because of digestive issues like acid reflux? Or is it just a vague general sense that there's something bad about eating too close to bedtime, such as an eating disorder fear that it'll make you gain weight? Again, the first scenario is more understandable. You know, some people with pre-existing acid reflux, myself included, find it can increase symptoms to lie down within an hour or two of eating a meal, though there are also strategies that can mitigate those symptoms, such as elevating the head of the bed or using a wedge pillow, taking acid-blocking medications, etc. But if it's the second scenario, where you have general concerns about health or worries about weight, then it's worth challenging those beliefs, as they likely stem from the eating disorder and diet culture more broadly. Whatever the case may be for you, Vera, I want to encourage you to keep working at your recovery and getting your food needs met while opening up to greater flexibility. I hope that's helpful in starting to answer your questions, and thanks so much for asking. To submit your own question for a chance to have it answered either here or in my Food Psych weekly newsletter or both, just go to christyharrison.com/questions. That's christyharrison.com/questions. So that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this podcast helpful, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can see all the places to do that at christyharrison.com/subscribe. This episode was brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap: Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order for its April 2023 release. That's ChristyHarrison.com/thewellnesstrap. If you're looking for help healing your own relationship with food, grab my free audio guide, 7 Simple Strategies for Finding Peace and Freedom with Food. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/strategies to get it. That's ChristyHarrison.com/strategies. For full show notes and a transcript of this episode, go to ChristyHarrison.com/302. And to get the transcript, just scroll down to the bottom of the page and enter your email address. A big thanks, as always, to our editor and sound engineer, Mike Lalonde, community and content associate, Vinci Chui, and administrative assistant, Julianne Watasik, for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show every week. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs, and I'm your host and producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.